I think it's incredibly important. And I will, I'm happy to set that kind of bar very high for myself and for Hyacinth. It's because I'm not sure that we'll get this moment in time again.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we meet the woman who thinks horse racing has its last best chance to survive. Well, as another summer meet at Saratoga Racecourse begins, thoroughbred horse racing advocates say the troubled sport is beginning a new era of oversight and accountability. The Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, established by Congress in 2020, is overseeing efforts to implement standard and nationalized rules with respect to safety and doping. The authority's new CEO is Lisa Lazarus, a labor attorney with a long history in sports. All right, here's my conversation with Lisa Lazarus. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and how you come to this position?
Sure. I have a sort of relatively lengthy career in sports regulation, and particularly around anti-doping programs and disciplinary sports programs. I'm a lawyer by training. I started my career at a private law firm at Akin Gump, Strauss, Hauer, and Feld, essentially in their labor and employment division. After that, I spent 10 years at the National Football League, primarily representing the 32 member clubs in collective bargaining issues, but also representing the teams in various disputes and arbitrations with the players, including the anti-doping programs and performance enhancing programs. After that, I was the general counsel of the International Equestrian Federation and also their chief business development and strategy. That was actually overseas in Switzerland, that was governing sport horses internationally. And then the last 4 years prior to assuming the job as CEO of HISA, I created an equine law practice at a sports boutique law firm called Morgan Sports Law, where I was representing, you know, owners, trainers, riders, primarily of sport horses. And then I took this role in February of 2022.
What appealed to you about this particular position?
So a couple of things. One is I definitely have developed over my time working in equine law, a passion for the horse and for horse welfare related issues. I think, you know, sports that involve a horse are extraordinary and are bring so many sort of benefits to the public, but also to the industries that they create. But obviously that's also a real responsibility. And I'm sort of passionate about protecting these sports while at the same time making sure that the animals are protected. I also looked at it as an opportunity to have a real impact on an industry that I thought was a fantastic industry in sport, which is obviously horse racing, but also really could use some support and some assistance in terms of, you know, making some regulatory changes that would help to secure its future going forward. You know, what was really interesting to me in particular is that horse racing is really the only sport that I know of that doesn't have a national, or didn't until now, have a national governing body. And I thought the opportunity to kind of create that, given the experiences that I've had over the course of my career, would be really unique and potentially very fulfilling.
For our listeners, if you could explain, what is the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority's mandate, and what is your role in implementing it?
Sure. So the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act was passed by Congress, as you mentioned, in December 2020. And that act creates the authority that I'm the CEO of, with a mission to make racing safer and to protect the integrity of horse racing. And really, the act gives us two programs, or essentially tools, in order to fulfill that mission. One is the Racetrack Safety Program, which really is all about enhancing both equine and also jockey or rider safety through various provisions and requirements that pertain to racetrack accreditation, as well as various uniform safety rules that are in place to essentially, you know, protect our horses from fatalities and from injuries, and also protect the riders. And the second program is the Anti-Doping and Medication Control Program, which is there to essentially protect the integrity of the sport. And the racetrack safety program is going into effect July 1. And the anti-doping medication control program is going into effect January 2023.
How are you being received by the industry so far? I think it's fair to say racing has been a fairly insular world over the years.
What I'll say to that is, most stakeholder groups have been supportive of our mission and supportive of what we're trying to accomplish. And we've had a tremendous amount of, positive feedback from a lot of the bigger players in horse racing. We've also had some trepidation and some anxiety from groups that, are anxious about what the future holds for racing and aren't sure that, that Heise is going to actually sort of make a difference, a positive difference in their lives or in the industry. And obviously, we're going to have to show that we do bring positive impact and that we are really there to inspire the sport and to help the sport, as I said, kind of be around for generations to come. But in that sense, I have to say it's obviously been a little bit mixed because, we haven't gotten going yet, and change is always, I think, difficult for people.
You have mentioned two areas where you'll be concentrating. That's in racing safety and in doping. Is one of the two issues a bigger focus for you right now?
Well, neither one are more important than the other. I think they are equally important and they work in tandem. That being said, because the racetrack safety program is operational July 1 and the anti-doping not until January 1, we're a bit more focused on the racetrack safety program and making sure that it launches properly and that we have everything in place to make sure it goes smoothly and to make sure we can properly enforce it. At the same time, the anti-doping medication control regulations are currently up for public comment, and I'm collecting those comments and reviewing the rules from a substantive standpoint. So they're equally important, but from a timing standpoint, they're sequenced differently.
What sort of changes are being discussed or are on the table in terms of racetrack safety? What is meant by that specifically?
So, we have a number of different regulations that pertain to the racetracks, things like surface testing to make sure that the surfaces are at their optimal safety for horses and for the riders who are on those horses. We're looking at having a uniform crop rule so that all states and all racetracks have the same rule involving the crop. We have enhanced veterinary reporting so that we have a closer connection between, what the veterinarians are seeing when they examine horses and their actual performances or their abilities to race. We have things like, safety committees and safety inspectors that are required. Now, some of the racetracks are already doing this, but these regulations make those requirements national. So that's kind of a sampling.
Is it possible that not all racetracks or local authorities will be able to survive given the increased level of scrutiny and, standardization that you're talking about?
Well, so a couple of things about that I think are important to realize. For one, Heise only has authority over covered horse races, which are thoroughbred horse races where the racetrack is exporting the signal for parimutuel wagering. So by definition, you have racetracks that have obviously income sources. But in addition to that, we've worked really hard to make sure that the changes we're requiring are changes that are accessible to racetracks, even if they need a bit more time, and that we can provide solutions to help them achieve those benchmarks. One example I'll give is there were a few racetracks that expressed to us they were having difficulties providing baseline concussion tests for their jockeys prior to July 1. There are a lot of racetracks that provide this service for jockeys, some don't. And for some jockeys, the additional couple hundred dollars that it might cost to get such a test was prohibitive or was preventing them from registering. So we went around to all of those tracks that couldn't provide that service, and we provided it to them free of charge in a way that would enable their jockeys to have those tests, record those medical records and be in compliance by July 1. But even more importantly, the reason we want those baseline tests is we want to be able to ensure that if a jockey does sustain a concussion, sometime after July 1, that we have a baseline test to make sure that when they go to the hospital, they get optimal care. So that's sort of one example. We've really tried to be cooperative and to figure out ways to enable racetracks to meet these standards in a way that's not gonna, you know, not gonna put their future viability into question.
Let's change gears here and talk about the issue of doping now. How widespread is this problem in your estimation?
So, you know, that's a really difficult question for me to answer, and only because I really don't come from horse racing. My experience is primarily in the sport horse world, and we're building an entirely new program. So I think I'll only be able to answer that question after we've launched our program and it's been in place for a period of time to see what the outcomes are. I know that we're going to have more rigorous rules. We're going to have higher standards. We're going to have better sort of lab, let's say labs being similar to each other. So better harmonization of the labs, which I think will be an important ingredient in having a more kind of comprehensive, fair program. But I can't really answer that question until we have time to evaluate it.
You mentioned earlier that, you know, horse racing, unlike most other sports, doesn't have a national governing body. Is it fair to say that HISA is now that body?
Correct. HISA is now that body with regards to those sort of two buckets or areas I've already described. One being anti-doping and medication control, and the other being racetrack safety. Everything else is still left to the state racing commissions to govern, but we now have a national governing body for those two areas.
And how many state commissions or, you know, individual racetracks are falling under that purview?
So we have about 20. So in terms of jurisdictions, there's 25 racing jurisdictions that currently fall under HISA's purview as of July 1. That may change because, as I said, it's connected somewhat to the extent to which the racetrack engages in interstate wagering. That's obviously the connection to the Commerce Clause into the federal regulation. And right now at this point in time, it's 25 states.
Do you think that racing can be held safely?
Of course I do. I wouldn't have taken this job if I didn't. I'm sure that racing can be held safely. And I generally believe that over time, once HISA has taken effect, we're going to see meaningful improvements in racetrack safety for both the horses and the people who ride and care for them.
And how will that be measured? Are we talking about issues like, you know, the spate of deaths that we saw on the California circuit a couple of years ago that led to the track being shut down? How will these changes be tracked?
So one of the things that's really powerful and exciting about HISA is that we do have the authority to collect a lot of data. And that's something that we've been really steadfast about requiring is the entry of, you know, veterinary information relating to covered horses. And so that information will be anonymized when we analyze it, but it will be analyzed in an equine injury database. It'll be analyzed with regards to, as I said, the jockeys and riders. And we're going to use that data to essentially try to create policies and sometimes really just advisories to the racing industry in order to ensure that we can always, you know, achieve the highest standards when it comes to safety. So really a lot of it's going to be research-based. And that's what's really exciting about HISA is that we now can collect this research on a national basis.
Will this be a process that racing fans and patrons are aware of? Will they see a presence from the authority or from you at tracks around the country, or how will that work?
So, I mean, listen, for the most part, you know, state racing commissions, we've been able to reach agreements with the vast majority of them. So they are still the ones who have sort of control of day-to-day race day operations. But as you've said, you know, HISA's changes are meaningful changes, and they do go to these core issues of safety and integrity. And so you will start to see, you know, a bigger presence of the HISA team, especially as we grow. I mean, one thing that I probably didn't mention, but I should have, is that, you know, when I was hired, I was the first employee. So part of my job has been to build the team. And so as the team grows and as we are able to do more and more, I think you'll definitely will see a greater presence.
How important is it for you to get it right for the future of the sport?
I think it's incredibly important. And I will, I'm happy to set that kind of bar very high for myself and for HISA. And it's because I'm not sure that we'll get this moment in time again. the people who the persons and, you know, organizations that lobbied for HISA did so over a very long period of time. And it was, you know, an important achievement for those groups to be able to have federal regulation around safety and integrity. And I'm not sure that if we don't get it right this time, we'll get another chance. And I think that the industry is an extraordinary industry and deserves the opportunity to sort of be its best version of itself. And I think the horses also deserve it. So, and I think the public will judge us, as they should, by how much progress we make and the standards that we're achieving.
Is there something to the idea of incentivizing good behavior at the track? And the reason I ask that is, you know, the sport's most famous trainer, Bob Baffert, is currently suspended from New York racing tracks for the next year. And he's had, you know, his latest Kentucky Derby victory taken away. People who have talked to our station over the years have described the dynamics in racing as sort of a race to the bottom, where, you know, bad behavior is rewarded in the form of purse money and so on, and good behavior has you nowhere near the winner's circle on race day. How do you address that dynamic?
Well, I think that's precisely one of the reasons why HISA is so important. And that's because, you know, the Anti-Doping Medication Control Program, its whole mission will be to sort of reverse that whole theory, right? Its whole mission will be to make sure that there's a level playing field, that the rules are rigorous, and that everyone is being judged by the same standards. Not just, you know, everyone's being held to a rigorous standard with regards to what is or is not allowed to be used in a horse, both on race day and between races, but also that same rule is applied across the country to every thoroughbred racing jurisdiction where the race is, you know, as I said, is exported for wagering. So really, HISA was created to address that issue. Now, I can't speak, as you asked me earlier, I can't speak to whether or not that is just the way people perceive racing to be, or whether it is in fact the way racing is. Part of my job is to sort of figure all of that out. What I can tell you is that the program that we will put in place in January will most certainly be designed to deal with that issue and to make sure that people that play by the rules are the ones that are rewarded. And if you don't play by the rules, you're no longer be able to get away with it.
Lisa, is there anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to add for people listening?
I think maybe the only thing that I would add is that, you know, HISA, we have, you know, incredible lofty goals, and we are going to make racing better. You know, I'm absolutely sure of that. But it's an incredibly unusual situation in the sports landscape to be basically creating a governing body from a blank piece of paper. And so many people have put so much time and effort into getting it right and into creating rules and regulations that are both protective but sensible. And so I'm certain that there are going to be things that we don't get right from the outset because of this white blank piece of paper, because every rule creates kind of 10 or 15 onward impacts that maybe not every single one has been considered, fully analyzed. So there are things that will evolve over time, but I believe we have the core ingredients in place to be successful, to make a difference, and that, you know, over time, we're going to be able to fine tune that proposition, and I think have an incredibly strong governing body and consequently a stronger sport.
Lisa Lazarus is CEO of the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority. Lisa, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us, and good luck in the new position.
Great. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.